Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for these precious times when we don't gather to learn so much as gather around thee. And we bless thee, Lord. Father, one sense, one glimpse in the heart of Jesus, and it's worth all the Bible schools in the world, that we confess unto thee. Lord, be in our midst this morning, and pity me as I speak to these dear people, and grant unto them love and sympathy and understanding and all the joy of knowing thee. Here, Father, we take thy precious book into our hands again. O Lord, where would we be had we not got it? And we bless thee that just as holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Spirit, grant that we, being holy in our hearts, should understand thy urgency and thy tremendous love, unspeakable, that gave us the book and gave us the privilege of being saved and of being called the sons of God. Lord, we bless thee for this. The multiplicity of Jesus is all that thou art after, Father, to replenish thy heavens with the true saints, and grant unto us the knowledge of this deep, inward, and unshakable, as it is in thy heart, that we may be a copy of thine own. Amen. Well, this is our last time together, isn't it? I shan't be able to get up to the presentation day. I don't know, I think I'm booked to be abroad somewhere. So I've instructed Eric, Derek, isn't it? Nice to be able to instruct him. You can't, can you? That next year, would he please arrange the prize or whatever it is, giving day, and we can get it fixed. So if you come back again next year, I'll be here, I hope. But let's get through this year, shall we? In John, as you know, we left it in the 11th chapter, I believe. And I know that I reminisced and sort of rather preached than taught anything yesterday. I hope you'll forgive me. But the former classes have loved it if I've told them stories. But I've been telling Derek stories all breakfast time. So when you get him on here, I say, what were the stories he told you over breakfast? One of these times, well, I'll tell you, you can know them all easily. If you just ask Dot for tapes that started somewhere back in what time, and they're more or less all on them. But let's move on together, shall we, in Scripture. if I do divert into a story, it's because it's the last time. Well, the last morning. In this marvellous chapter, because it is, I would call it the greatest miracle that Jesus did, except the miracle of his own birth and his death and resurrection. Those miracles accepted, but then he is a miracle being. Quite natural to him, you understand that. This story of the raising of Lazarus is very, very, very wonderful. And you must note, or hope you have noted, that it comes at the end of his life. He doesn't start off by raising people from the dead. Just please note, if you're thinking about being in a miraculous ministry sometime, he doesn't start off by raising somebody whose body has been corrupting in the grave for 4 days. He starts off by merely turning water into wine. In other words, Jesus progressed. Keep it clear. Hadn't he power to raise people from the dead in the beginnings? In Cana of Galilee, yes. But the folly of men is that they want to keep blasting off in great power, like a rocket. But when the rocket gets up there, where there's no atmosphere to speak of, it glides with ease. You understand that? It's the great blast off at the start to get the thing into its orbit. Big thing to bear in mind. And that's all because, you will remember, in chapter 5, you find the Lord saying like this. He could only do the things that his father showed him to do. You remember I told you about, take the chapter 5, we noted this as we went through, me telling you, it's the scripture telling me and you, that he started off by just giving a man healing in chapter 5. Before that, he'd done one or two things, not much. He did lots of miracles, but he didn't just come to do miracles. And he had come to be the Word of God, not the work of God, if you will. Just get the meaning of that into what it portends. The Word, not the work. Of course, he was the work of God. He was the Son of God through Mary. That was God's work. But to see this, the Word, and he said in John chapter 5, the Father, he couldn't do anything except the Father showed him. Now you remember that. And the Father showed him to do a simple thing first, turn water into wine, and then he progressed through works to this in chapter 11. Just keep it in mind. Most people, we say it about men, we don't say it about ladies, that they're boys in men's trousers, you know. We don't say that about you, ladies, but that's what it is. You must remember that David refused point blank to wear Saul's armor. You just remember that. If only we would do something simple like scrubbing a floor in Jesus' name for someone, instead of trying to work miracles, we show that we hadn't got a big head on our shoulders. (Clears throat) Perhaps if I told you a story, well, I'll start it off with one. I started in Christian Things in a church to which I went when we'd removed from London, when I was just 13 years old, age. It was a church out in the country, chapels they call it. And, that's where I did some speaking right from an early age. I could talk, don't worry about that. I learned by this, that if they wanted the fire lit on Sunday mornings a long time before everybody, so I did it. It had a garden. If they wanted the garden dug, I did it. How many of you men have done that kind of thing? I'm not boasting. I want to see the pattern. I want you to see God works according to a pattern. He does that. When his son at 12 years of age could have put four sons up in the heavens if he'd wanted to, he had the power, and he wanted to be preaching at 12 years of age, God said to him, his father said, you go back to the carpenter's bench for another 18 years. You learn to do your carpentry job and do it perfectly. He didn't tell him he was going to start him at 30. He could have been chafing at the bit, as we say, at 12. Just remember, just keep things in proportion in your own mind and in imaginations about yourselves. You won't go far wrong. If they wanted somebody to teach the infants, I could teach them. If they wanted somebody to preach on a Sunday morning, I could do that. If they wanted a leader for the young people's work, I did that. If they wanted, at that time, a solo sound, I could do that. You understand? But I also dug the garden. I also went down and helped in doing the man's, he-man's job. You understand? Jesus started like that. God didn't say, now there's somebody just died in Bethany. Bethany was in existence when he was 30 years of age. He did say, now go and raise him, or something like that. You understand? Please do. Don't try and be like him or him. Of course, you've got some like that, or some woman like her. Just be yourself. Don't overstretch. Just go steadily. So Jesus was started on a wedding feast and turning water into wine and disappearing and letting somebody else take credit for it, not him. He didn't say, here, now you better be fair about this. It was me that turned that water into wine. Understand? Learn to be like Jesus before attempting to do Jesus' works. It's a big thing. Ambition can be a deadly enemy. Aspire to scrub floors and dig gardens. Oh, look where I can preach. Oh, preachers could be two a penny, if you know what I mean. You've got to be in the will of God. I read a book once that you wouldn't read today, long time ago now. And I learned this expression, it's on several tapes, I suppose, as I've been around. It's this, God's preference is scrubbing fools. They're his favourites. Just remember. Of course, that upsets all the ladies. Ladies don't even scrub now, they, or do they? I don't know. they have a Hoover. Here's the thing, beloved, for us to see. Please take it in. It's humorously stated, but the truth of it is so vital. Well, anyway, listen to the one who said he couldn't do anything, and his father showed him. And it was father showed him to do what we were talking about yesterday morning, that when he heard that Lazarus was dead, he deliberately stayed where he was. He didn't go rushing off. Oh, I must get to Lazarus quick, get a donkey for me to ride on or something. He never let human affections, for he had a human affection for that family. Always remember he was human. Never let that affect him. Now I could stop and talk to you a long time about that. He didn't go dashing off to people's needs, especially his favourite, because Bethany was undoubtedly his favourite home where he stayed. He didn't let that come into it. So get yourselves clear on these almost banal things that don't seem to matter much. And you'll be stepping in the footprints of Jesus. He could suddenly have appeared on the scene, you know, but he didn't. He was a baby first. It's so marvellous to learn these things. All right then, the 11th chapter, where we are, or were, yesterday morning. I want to go on today. Remember this. I drew your attention to the fact that Jesus loved these people, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And you know, I want you to know that they loved him. Now that's where you will find your biggest difficulties. Not so much among the people that hate you, because you can say, but the people that love you. Just remember that. They loved him. He loved them. He made their home his headquarters for the last week of his earthly life. Did you know? He went to and fro from Bethany to the temple, back to Bethany, into the temple again for his last teachings and so on, except, of course, for the upper room, which was his very last day. I told you that was the day I would like to have been in, if I could have done, before his death. Okay. He loved. Now listen to this. It's very subtle. Watch your heart. So that's what I'm interested in. I'm not interested. I know it must go into your ears, and I hope into your brain and heads, what I'm saying. And I hope it makes a mark on you. I think that's what all the lecturers hope. But, beloved, it's your love that settles it. Always your love. And that's where you check. Now listen to the human. Here it is. Verse 37. Some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused He had the power, have caused that even this man should not have died, and the result of that was Jesus groaned in himself. Now you watch that. in yourself. Just watch it. He couldn't have loved them. He couldn't have been through. He couldn't have been. He has his power. Why didn't he cause that Lazarus shouldn't die? The subtlety of the enemy. These are the, it's the subtle things that will affect you most. The most subtle creature on earth was the serpent, and he got into the garden and ruined it all. Watch the subtleties. Don't indulge in them. If you can possibly keep yourself garments clean about it. Grow. You know, he had to bear so much suffering inwardly, and he never begged pity of anyone because they didn't know. And through the sheer ignorance all around him. As I pointed out, even Martha and Mary, if you'd have been here, Lord, it wouldn't have happened. Just watch it. It's a very subtle attack on them. And the devil uses it. And you let him do that once or twice in your life, and you'll be away to the woods. You've got to see. And this is the whole purpose of having the Holy Ghost in you, that it should make you to rise above all those things. Sooner stand up, fight. I don't mean literally. That, and you have to bash and stand up and fight and face, you know, God sends you to fight a good fight of faith and all this business. But see, it's the things that go on in your heart, in your home, that I know nothing about, you see. The inward things, they're the biggest things of all. All right, having said that, and brought you to what I am quite sure is the gravamen, the real truth, the real foundation of all these things, your position in God. That's the thing that counts. We can go on and cover it with the details, if you like. This is the heart, the very bones of it all. No, I really have said enough, and we could dismiss the class to make you see what it's about. So you see what's enwrapped in this print about the story of raising Lazarus from the dead. It's all there. The inner battle that went on. Of course, Jesus never turned it into a battle, but it is a battle in us. He just obeyed the Father and paid the price in groans and everything. Nobody understood, not even Mary. And Mary had more understanding than any of them. Did you know that, ladies? Cheer up, I'm on your side. It was Mary that anointed him against the day of his burial. Nobody else did. Not one of his disciples. She understood against the day of my burying. Has she kept this? Nobody else equaled that amongst the lot. The favored many. You see, you understand me. I said something complimentary to you ladies the other day. well, you are a refined edition of humanity taken from the man, and you are, and never lose that, and don't you ever get coarse and vulgar in your position, and don't allow anybody else to, and don't get swelled headed. But you are that. Don't you betray your position. You remember this, that you have possibilities in you that are usually beyond men. I know, I'm not talking about the physical possibilities, of course. It'd be different. But it's either something you understand or else you don't. And that's why the devil attacked the woman first. And then Adam got the blame for it. It's called old Adam, not old Eve. This inward state of ours. Just keep it. Don't hide behind it. Don't try and be anything else but what you are sweet and wonderful and understanding, and absolutely built that way in your inward emotional states. Ideal she would have been, Eve, if she hadn't just blown it. I've got to be careful because I could talk along this way a lot. And I think it would be illuminating to you as well. But I know that everyone in this room, being of an age, understands what I'm talking about. You're not qualified to be out of the fourth grade in school if you don't understand this. God wants us to get this background of living and understanding more than knowledge of words on paper called the Bible. Because it's all it is. It's only words on paper. Oh, God inspired. Yes, yes, yes. But in your hand and possession, it's ink on paper. Thank God for it, because John said in that same John 5, Jesus said, he says, search the scriptures, do it. And he once said to a very clever man, what does scripture say? How readest thou? He didn't say, do you read? Or what do you read? He said, how do you read it? And it's that how that will bring you into a place of proper ministry. Not say, we'll read John something, don't you? And when you preach or even read it, I hear you don't understand it. That's before you start preaching about it. You've got to learn how to read the Bible. And that is when God, the author of it, through those men, has done something in you by his Spirit. Please never gabble it. It's so wonderful. And God wants us to be in this tremendous position. Look at verse 35. Where does it occur? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Not that I believe in versification, I don't. But nevertheless, it is in that verse, verse 35. When? It was after Mary, verse 32, came where Jesus was and said, Lord, the voice from the ground, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She testified of her faith in him. That was a testimony. But she also testified that she hadn't got a clue what the will of God was. For he stayed away because his father never showed him to go. He went in God's time. Jay, these are all little things, but now you know what I meant when I said at the beginning, I'm not really interested in whether you get a paper at the end, I'm only interested in your soul state. That's all I'm interested in. And I believe, though God is very loving and understanding, that's all he's really interested in. So you see, beloved, what it's all about. I hope you do. I hope you do. After, it was after Mary had been. Martha comes back from seeing Jesus being the kind of woman. Note the types of women people there are, types of natures, type of development of your soul states and everything else. Martha goes, if you like, galloping. Excuse me, I've exaggerated on that. She goes out to see him. Now Mary. Mary was bound up in misunderstandings, bound up in her secret griefs. She couldn't go. She stopped behind. She didn't say, wait for me, Martha, I'm coming. And Martha comes back and she says, the master's come. He's calling for thee. Wasn't that lovely? Do you get the full value out of reading? That you should? Do you ever stop like that and say, now wasn't that lovely? Because that's all he's concerned about. He doesn't care whether you know this, that, the other, as long as you love him. Love him with understanding. Not just say, I love him. It's a great, I can dissertate on this, beloved. It's the secret of all ministry. You men, are you listening? All women. It's the secret of all ministry. Love. It's the secret of all God's giving. He so loved that he gave. You read it. It's so glorious. I get beside myself. I wonder at my dull mind in understanding so little of God. He's calling for you, Mary. His heart's calling for you, you know, don't you? You may be in your grief, wrapped up in your little world of events that are happening to you. And God so loved the whole world that he gave his son. Aspire unto this greatness, will you? It's only love that understands. You understand? Your mind doesn't understand. Not as the generic source of it. Your mind comes into line. We've got a mind. We can't avoid having it. But it's something called the heart of you that understands. And understanding is not knowing. Knowing is a different word. Understanding comes from suffering love. Love that suffers. Then you will be in the realm of understanding. You're not I'm educating you, I hope, in the mental realms, differently from all the other lecturers I know. But I said in the beginning, this is why I think Derek gets me to come. You must understand that. Put it down. Understanding comes from love, suffering. And never forget it. Jesus didn't weep on the cross, but he wept when Mary said what she said. He shed his blood. Just think. There used to be a hymn once, because we don't sing hymn now. We have an overhead thing flashing on a wall. Perhaps not here, we think they're very modern. Do away with the hymn books. And we'll all stand up like this and that and the other. Just, you know. But they used to hymn him, which had in it, and Jesus shed tears, as well as his blood. I can shed blood this morning, not in the same sense that Jesus shed it. If somebody cut me, I might yelp with pain, and I wouldn't cry. I hope I wouldn't, anyway. That's the thing. They said, behold how he loved him. But he wasn't weeping for Lazarus. Do you understand? It would have been crocodile's tears, as my mother used to talk about them. Because he knew that in about a few minutes he was going to raise him from the dead anyway. See, they don't understand. The other people don't understand. Perhaps you've thought he wept because he loved Lazarus so much. Then why didn't he stop him dying? He could have done. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus. He was on a great work of demonstration from God and heaven. He was engaged in that. Just keep it clear in case you got caught up with modern emotional stuff. But don't afraid to be afraid to be emotional if it be right. Jesus wasn't ashamed to weep. But not for the stupid reasons that are merely human or humanistic. That they talked about. So see how human he was. He was being most divine. But then I shouldn't be preaching about it, should I? But I want to tell you, you never preach if you don't teach at the same time. Never. Preaching... I know they divide it up and they take the Greek word and they say this is hermeneutics and this is something else and this is something else and this is something else. It's all cut and dried, done up in bundles of five or something. Like buying a bunch of flowers and you've decorated your mind with a lot of knowledge. But those flowers soon fade in God's sight. You and I have got to be able to impart yourself. Well, so I want to impart Jesus. You can't if you can't impart yourself together with him. Do you understand? Not that imparting yourself is to be the real issue or the first thing. But you're a living, warm being, sentient. You feel... You've got to be able to do that. Keep your feelings out of your preaching. You'll be as useless as a clod. Don't pride yourself that you can keep a stiff lift any time. You'll not do for God. Oh, I don't mean to say you've got to be weeping about every black beetle that crosses your path. I don't mean that. Beloved, you've got to be a human being. Jesus was a human being. And nothing disproportionate about you. So God wants us to grow. Now listen, at that time, Jesus was still in verse 30 at the place where Martha met him. And you'll have to meet Jesus just where everybody else has to meet him. You understand? He's calling for you, Mary. Calling for you. You call Lazarus afterwards. Don't worry about that. That's why he's come now. How about you living ones? Oh, I'm weeping about my dead brother. I've met it, but I've been in the course of ministry. I'm not imagining anything. You see where it is. He's still at that place where the woman said, Martha, I believe when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm not death. I haven't come to associate myself with. I've come to associate myself for, not with. I am not associating myself with your, if I may put it, he wouldn't have put it this way, trust me to have this kind of mind, your ignorant weeping. For he had said it. Listen, I really do learn to read the Bible, bury your old self in it, and then rise up anew, and you'll understand it. Here it is. Martha says to Jesus in verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha, knowing so much with her Jewish background, says unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus could have said unto her, I am the first and the last. The last day is here, if I'm here. How about that? You just keep it in mind. I'm the first and the last. The last day was there with her. She didn't understand. But no excuse for you. You say you were baptized in the Spirit and whatnot. Because none of these men, neither Martha either, was full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, it means that at least you're in the primary level of learning to be like God. When the Holy Ghost comes, only he can make you like the Lord. It was only he that made Mary like she was, that was with child to bring forth the blessed Lord Jesus. Only he, Jesus, came from the Father through the Holy Spirit. And then he was called Jesus on earth when he was born. Army, I'm afraid there's so little knowledge of this and understanding. God grant your heart two great big hands that you can gather it all into your bosom and know what it's about. He won't proceed any other way with you than he did with his own son, that he had to be born of the Spirit through Mary, and you must be born of the Spirit. He doesn't proceed any other way. It's not an illumination of mind. Trust that to come. It is life by the Holy Ghost. Now, beloved, I really deserve a rap on the knuckle. I've been preaching. But I love preaching. I want to die preaching. Would you like that? Oh, I don't mean now. At the moment. But that is if I die, of course. But he said, I know that he shall rise again, says Martha, in the resurrection at the last day. That might be 1,000 years hence. I want my loved brother Lazarus now. Why did you let him die? He would have had to have confessed if they'd asked him. It was implied in what they said to him. He did deliberately not come, though they'd sent for him. When you don't understand what's happening according to your beliefs and according to what your mind tells you, you learn to lie on his bosom and love him. You learn to do that. That's the hardest thing to do. It's easy to stand up and say, I believe. Could you stand up and say, I love as God loves? Good. But in sort of a matey and nicey chorus, yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. And there are some people that sing like that might have a thimble full of it, if you know what I mean. I'm not being critical, but that's the way it works out. Love has got to fill you, got to be you. You and love must be one, as Jesus is and love are one. This is what it's all about. He was the firstborn and the greatest. But he's only the firstborn among many brethren, so I tell you. Scripture says that. Do you believe that you could be born of God to that extent? Oh, we'll never be like, oh, my mother on earth was not a virgin. That will never be. But in the things of the Spirit, you've got to be born of the Virgin Holy Ghost. Keep that clear. For remember, both male and female came from God. God is virgin. You understand? Marvelous. This is why he can offer us salvation from all sin. Because he's virgin. Marvelous. Only this glorious triune born God could ever be God. I don't know whether you must have had lectures on the Trinity, I suppose. Don't know whether it was said like that, but that's the truth. It's so marvellous. And I could preach about it all the day long. But do see this. I wanted my brother now. Why did you let him die? If you'd been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. What held you back? I didn't come deliberately. I didn't come, Martha. I wonder what she thought then. Poor Martha, she couldn't understand. Mary couldn't understand. You remember that when they got to the grave, verse 38, Jesus, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It wasn't because Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was not dead. Do you understand? Not to Jesus. Here it is. Coming to the grave, weeping. Both Martha and Mary were thinking the same. They talked about it in their home together. Obviously. Wonder why he didn't come. Wonder why. Don't he love us anymore? Here's the thing, beloved. Once you get this real revelation of Jesus Christ, you'll have no real troubles. There'll be somebody die. You might die. You might break your leg on a bus. You might have toothache. I don't know what. Because you have all the things that the flesh is heir to. Tragedies in your family. It's good for you to know there are no tragedies in the family of God. Here then is the marvelous thing. We will measure God by ourselves instead of hoping to catch a glimpse of ourselves measured by God. Now, if you say you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I don't know whether you go whiz-bang-crash because you say you've got great big power or something. Or whether you say, God, your heart will expand unto it all. And you say, let it all come, Lord, let it all come. Anything to make me like thy Son. This is the big, big thing, beloved. When I get to heaven, I don't want you to be better than I am in that sense, if you know what I mean, or greater in this. I want to keep going on, pressing for the prize. I want to be like Jesus, do you? Well, I'm telling you one of the ways. This is why this acid test is put last in the Gospels. He didn't expect you to take it in your stride at the beginning. Water into wine will do you for a start. Wonderful. Took nothing harder for him to raise Lazarus from the dead than to turn water into wine. Nothing. Nothing. He can move mountains, cast trees into the middle of the ocean if he wants. Disciplined thinking is very, very wonderful.